Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Pete. Good morning. Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny, and you're listening to The Fan. How you feeling this morning, DR?
We're doing all right, man. We're gutting through. It's basically Grant and horse voice. That's maybe this is just my new voice. Is it for a week.
That'd be a good name to a show.
Grant and horse voice.
Kareem Hunt has signed with the Browns. We'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. Bryce Harper doesn't yet have a home. That's going to end this week, very likely. New odds out on where he's going to end up at 10:30. Next hour, Kyler Murray choosing football over baseball. No shortage of things to cover today, including a member of the Redskins coaching staff in trouble with the law. So it's all coming up on 106.7 The Fan. A quick recap of last night, rapid fire for you. You just heard Pete talk about the Caps 6-4 win over the Kings. Really important game for them. They get 9 of a possible 12 points on a 6-game homestand.
Yeah.
They hit the road now, having garnered points in 5 of the 6 games they played. Yevgeny Kuznetsov has 5 goals in his last 3 games. He had 12 points in this 6-game homer. You can't ask for much more out of 92 than you've been getting. 4 points last night. They put him on the top line with Ovi and Wilson. Those guys combined for 12 shots because of his creativity.
Yeah, he was great. That's the guy that Alan May talks about. The guy that's so smooth, in control. There are other guys that are faster and more explosive. And there are other guys maybe that stick handle a little better. He reminds me of the great players that I grew up watching when he's right. That somehow they just get to where they want to go. And you can't really stop them.
Wizards were trying to get to 3-0 since the trade deadline. They fell for the first time since adding Bobby Portis and Wesley Johnson, Jabari Parker. They did so by 9 points in an important game. They had a chance to creep to within 1 of the Pistons for the 8 seed. Instead, in a game that was weighted worth about 2, they fell back to 3 games back of the Pistons. 40 minutes, 31 points, 9 boards, and 9 assists for Blake Griffin, who has been amazing. And Andre Drummond, as Pete just told you, was ridiculous. 32-17. For the Wizards, we had seen Portis excel in that first game. He was back strong again, 24 points for him. Game 2 since the deal was huge for Jabari Parker. He stunk last night, did not score in 20 minutes, and had 5 rebounds. That's kind of the story of Jabari Parker in it, these last 2 games.
Yeah, let up and down. Wizards are now 7-22 on the road. 7-22 on the road this year. That's horrendous.
So they've played 29 times.
Yeah, and won 7.
7 of them. Okay. All right. That seems like there's some room for improvement there.
The arrow could be trending up. And they actually have a huge streak that's worth mentioning. The only team in the NBA to do this, 40 years. 40 years of not winning 50 games. They were eliminated from the possibility of winning 50 games for the 40th straight season last night. Only team over that stretch. Now, I'm cheating a little bit because Charlotte's been 3 different teams, but they won 50 games several times in the 90s with those Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson teams. Everybody else has been really good. The Wizards have never been. Have top 45 wins just twice in that span.
If you don't mind, real quick before we get to Kareem Hunt, there's one NBA accomplishment that I want to hit on for a second.
Please.
It's not James Harden scoring 30 again last night.
Can I guess? Is it Russell Westbrook?
It's Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook has a triple-double now in 10 consecutive games. Last night, he dished to Paul George with 4 or so minutes remaining, top of the key for a long 3-pointer, making NBA history with that assist. His triple-double, 10 in a row in 10 straight games, breaking Wilt Chamberlain's previous mark of 9 consecutive trip-dubs back in 1968. Westbrook calling it an unbelievable moment, said he did not know because, honestly, bro, I know what I'm capable of doing, and I just go out and compete, and whatever happens, happens, man. I don't really believe that because he did celebrate after the 3, kind of put 3 fingers in the air and shook him around. I took that to mean that he knew he had gotten his triple-double. The fact of the matter is the guy has done it in 10 straight games. When Bradley Beal or John Wall does it for the one of, you know, 2 or 3 times a year that those guys collectively can pull it off.
Yeah, we're spoiled by it.
It's an amazing thing. When, you know, the other night, like Trevor Ariza is flirting with the triple-double or someone gets the first of their career, it's a major story. You know, they're getting interviewed all over the place the next day. Russell Westbrook does it every night. He averaged a triple-double last year.
He's having an incredible, well, he's done it for three straight years now. He's having an incredible all-around season, but his shot is busted. It's the worst shooting year of Russell Westbrook's career at this point, aside from his rookie year, of course, when he was 20 years old, year one. He is so tough, so quick, so strong, does everything. He's shooting less as well, setting up teammates, guys like Paul George. And that group is the three seed right now in the West, largely due to the fact that he's averaging well over two steals per game. He blocks shots, he rebounds, he does everything at this point. The fact that he's that good of a rebounder just speaks to his desire and effort. I know a lot of times you could find some video of him sagging off a long jumper to maybe go sneak and get a rebound instead of contesting a shot. You could pick and choose if you want to. 21, 11.1, and 11.2. That's points, rebounds, and assists on the year. Amazing.
To the big story in sports this morning and the biggest news of yesterday, and it actually broke as soon as we went off the air. Matter of fact, Chad had not cracked the mic yet here in studio. He was just settling in for a four-plus hour marathon on Chad Dukes versus the World. You and I had not even gotten out of our seats yet to start walking around and doing the post-show stuff that we've got to do.
It's like throwing away a paper cup when it broke.
Kareem Hunt signs with the Cleveland Browns, one of the great running backs in the league over the last couple of seasons, released by the Kansas City Chiefs after a video surfaced showing him shoving and kicking a woman. The incident actually took place a year ago now, in February at the Residence Inn in Cleveland. The video came out in the winter just before the stretch run, and that's when the Chiefs decided they would release him. They said at the time they were cutting him because while they knew about the incident, he had lied to them about some of the specifics, and the video had shown that. Now, there was debate as to what was going to happen with Kareem Hunt, who's 23 years old, who apologized to the woman in a interview that he did and apologized to football fans and the Chiefs and those folks who had bought his jersey going back a couple of months ago now when he sat down for his first interview wearing a nice sweater and looking good on TV. Led the NFL in rushing in 2017 as a rookie with 1,327 yards and 8 touchdowns. Got the Chiefs to the playoffs. 53 catches, 455 yards, and 3 scores that year through the air. Then this past season, he was well on his way to another banner campaign.
Mm-hmm.
800 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns through 11 games before being shut down and released for the final 5 games of the season. A lot of comps are being made to the Redskins and why people were so upset about them signing Reuben Foster and whether or not the Browns will get as much flack for signing Kareem Hunt. Understand something. The Browns did everything differently up until right now than the Redskins did. Unlike agreeing to a contract with Reuben Foster right after he got out of jail, not getting a police report, not calling the police department via what at least the police told reporters, the Browns have spent a few months doing a thorough investigation to try to figure out exactly what happened.
An actual investigation, mind you.
A real one. They talked to police officers and got in a police report and knew exactly what happened. Not they have the benefit as well of seeing a video, obviously. So that's one major difference. Another major difference in how the two teams handled it, the Redskins sent out a press release with a statement and didn't address this publicly, at least until they threw their head coach to the wolves the next time he spoke about the practice updates and injuries that had taken place on the practice field that day. The general manager of the Cleveland Browns who runs their football operation, the closest thing they've got to Bruce Allen, the difference being that this guy actually evaluates football properly, his name is John Dorsey. He met with the media yesterday, had a statement, took questions, the way that it should be done when you make a decision like this. This was Dorsey on Kareem Hunt and the work that was done before bringing him in.
I just want to let everybody know that we have done extensive research with regards to this case, this player. And at the end of it, one thing we did find was he understands and takes full accountability the egregious act that he committed. He is extremely remorseful for his actions.
John Dorsey, like Bruce Allen, in a precarious situation when you make a decision like this, where mm-hmm. you've got to now explain why you did what you did, or you don't. You could be Bruce Allen and just not address it for months, I suppose. But Dorsey had some tough questions to answer. Went on to talk about some of the homework that was done and the fact that they had a lengthy collection of people they had to interview.
It's talking to people. It's talking to multitudes of people. It's sitting or it's having conversation with him and understanding, the depth of him. Does he truly understand the actions that have transpired? Is he willing to, move forward and develop himself as a person and be able to treat other people the way he wanted to be treated. And I think that's how you go about this.
Here's the question for our listeners, Danny, at 800-636-1067, and this is what you and I should hit next.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised he got a job this quickly, meaning before the start of this coming season? 800-636-1067. I'll tell you that I'm not.
I think the timing's about right for me.
The other question becomes, and again, the Hadid carpet cleaning listener line's open at 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us.
At Funny Danny and at Grant H. Paulson.
Do you think he should be permitted to play at the start of this football season? Or after some type of suspension, which is likely coming down the pike, presumably. But do you think he should be allowed right back into the league after that video surfaced? This won't surprise anyone who's listened to the show for a while as someone who believes in second chances. He's missed time. He'll probably be suspended even more time. He made a mistake. He did something terrible. I believe that he gets another opportunity. I am not for just ruling these guys out until the end of time. You don't get to play football ever again because you did something regrettable during a night that may have gone down as one of the worst of your life, one of the biggest mistakes that you ever made. So, yeah, I am absolutely of the belief that he should get to play again. We'll ask Danny that question, and we will get to your calls on this next at 800-636-1067. Kareem Hunt back in the NFL. Are you surprised he landed on his feet this quickly before free agency has really even gotten going in the National Football League? Guys, I want to tell you about Quip. It is the best way to take care of your oral health in 2019. They've got these sensitive sonic vibrations on the Quip toothbrush that I use that are gentle enough on my sensitive gums. People brush too hard. Some electric toothbrushes, you've used them, I've used them, way too abrasive. Built-in two-minute timer pulses over 30 seconds that remind you when to switch sides. I just kind of brush, feel like, okay, that's good enough. Brush, feel like that's good enough. Nope, it's going to tell you exactly when to move along in the process. They got a multi-use cover that makes travel easy. Going to spring training next week, I will take the Quip with me. Brush heads automatically delivered. Dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And 3 out of 4 of us uses bristles that are too old. That will not happen with Quip. Here's what you got to do. I love Quip, and a million happy mouths love Quip. Backed by 20,000 dental professionals, Quip is starting at $25. Go to getquip.com/grant right now. That's getquip.com/grant. You're going to get your first refill pack free. GETQUIP.com/grant.
What he has done is he has sought professional counseling with regards moving forward in anything like this situation. Once he understands his situation, he is now working towards being a better man moving forward. By no means, from an organizational standpoint, is this a guarantee of anything. As we all know, you know, trust has to be earned, and that has to be earned with the Cleveland Browns organization and the community of Cleveland moving forward. So this will be a day-to-day thing in terms of earning trust.
General Manager John Dorsey addressing the media right after the Browns decided they were going to sign Kareem Hunt. Of course, they waited a few months after that video came out in his release to do so, did a thorough investigation. He is already in the middle of counseling and trying to better manage his anger. He's a guy that's gotten into some off-the-field issues, physical altercations, not with females, before this, reportedly as well. Are you surprised he landed on his feet this quickly? That's question number one at 800-636-1067. Question number two, should he get a shot in the league this fast? 800-636-1067. Want to remind you, we will get to Bryce Harper, updated odds and where he's going to end up. We'll give you our predictions and our thoughts, analysis on every opportunity for him out there starting at 10:30, coming up in about 10 minutes. Danny, I am not surprised at all, and here's why. 1,300 rushing yards, 8 rushing touchdowns, 53 catches as a rookie. And this past year, 4.6 yards per carry and 26 catches out of the backfield in one of the most elite offenses in the sport. This is a special player.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Ray Rice. I say all the time, Ray Rice would have played again if he had anything left.
He was averaging more than 2.7 a pop.
Can you help a team? If the answer is yes, you're going to get another crack. That's the way it goes. You can get in trouble 4 or 5 times, maybe not. You get in trouble once, you definitely get another opportunity. You get in trouble 2 or 3 times, you're going to get another shot at this. And Kareem Hunt was absolutely going to be picked up. If it wasn't the Browns, it would have been somebody else. So I'm not surprised at all. I also believe he deserves another chance at this. I think that you do the crime, You do the time, and you get to live your life again. And you hope for a guy like Kareem Hunt, who's 23, imagine if the biggest mistakes that you made 23 or younger were caught on video and everyone in the country knew about them. People would think differently about you, probably. The worst thing, whatever it was that you did, if it was on video and you were 23 years old or younger when you did it, people would probably think a little bit more.
A little less of you.
I would say oddly about your character than they do if it was that public like so many of these guys' moments are. That's not to make an excuse for what he did. It was egregious. It was terrible, as John Dorsey said. But I do believe he gets a shot, should get a shot, and I'm happy that it's with the Browns. Remember, Dorsey was in Kansas City.
Yes.
And so was Freddie Kitchens.
Right.
The head coach of that team and the GM. It's kind of what the NFL is, man. It's a good old boys network. They know this guy. They think he's a better person than you and I do, having seen that video.
So a few points here. Number one, I'm actually surprised it didn't happen before this, honestly. I thought the fervor would die down. There's enough time to conduct an investigation. I thought somebody else would do it before now. So timing-wise, I'm with it. My stance forever on this has always been, if it's my league, if I'm in charge, if it's Danny Goodell today, nobody gets to do this and plays in my league. I just say, I'm not a big second chance guy with this sort of thing. When Michael Vick conducts an ongoing criminal enterprise that involves dog murder, I say, you never play in my league again. You're more than welcome to walk among us after you serve your prison sentence. It's a privilege to be in my league. You could go to anybody. Ben Roethlisberger, the dumb Giants kicker that did what he did. I would have a league empty of these guys. That's how I've always kind of felt.
So one time you swing or you kick it at a woman, you don't get to play
again. I would try to figure out specific rules and thresholds for it.
It's tough to do.
Because it's really hard to do. I will fully acknowledge that. But, like, I want no Greg Hardys in my league. I want no Ray Rices in my league. I want no
Adrian Peterson.
I wouldn't have had. That's how I've always been. I don't know when this happened, but I feel like maybe I've been worn down. I've been worn down. Maybe it was DeSean Jackson, honestly, when I didn't want him to be here in Washington. I was so tired of his act, his sabotage, the off-field connections, that weird NewJersey.com story about gang affiliations and everything else. I said, I want no part of it. And all he did was come here and be excellent. He was excellent. I was wrong. People that wanted him here were right. Somewhere along the line, I don't object anymore. I kind of say, I know what this is. I'm just watching a league that's about entertainment. If he can still play, whatever.
Which is, I guess, more along the lines of how I feel. My only difference would be, and I'm not saying that you disagree with this, you got to serve the time. I don't mean in jail.
No, I know.
Whatever that is, yeah. If that's a suspension, if that's the community service, whatever you've got to do to make it right, that all needs to happen. And when you've done that, when you've paid your debt, whether it's to society or to the league or to the Shield or to the organization, whoever it is, then you get to come back and you get to play again. I just think that it is American, and we all make mistakes. Some of them are worse than others. But all of us know someone who's made a terrible mistake, legally or otherwise, that's a better person than being judged for the worst thing that they did.
And so I'm now to the point, quickly before we jump to the calls, that the NFL can't be all the things. It can't be your moral authority. It can't be the high ground that we look to for our value judgments. This is an entertainment product. And I've used to have this wonderful high ground where I could make fun of every Cowboys fan because you employed the drunk driver that killed somebody. You employed Greg Hardy. Now I just want to win. I want the Redskins to win. Bring me the team from the longest yard. I mean, I don't care anymore. I have kind of, I'm able to separate now moral conundrums from production.
And I don't know what that says about me. I want the Redskins to get the band of misfit felons together. Quite like it sounds like maybe you are. But I do think he deserves to play again. And a team that is in need of a running back, although the Browns weren't, should absolutely have called this guy. Tom's in Manassas on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. Grant, Danny, I agree with everything you're saying. I know I'm not surprised he signed. Yes, he deserves a second chance. And I think Cleveland's smart by doing it because, I mean, they got a logjam now at running back. But my bet is they'll trade one of those running backs for something very, very productive for them. And the biggest note, you know, comparing the Reuben Foster signing and how the Redskins handled that versus this, look at what John Dorsey did. He took questions. He answered questions. He gave statements. It kind of made you feel like, okay, this is the way it's supposed to be. The guy messed up. They're giving him a chance. And you're kind of okay with it. You know, he's not in a jumpsuit. He's not lying to the people about doing investigative reports. And he's not throwing his coach out there to get chewed up. And that's why the Redskins are the Redskins and the Browns are trending up.
The difference between how Cleveland did this and Washington is night and day. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the Junkies this morning, and everyone was drawing these comparisons and saying, well, why did the Redskins get so much flack and it doesn't seem like the Browns are? Well, first of all, they couldn't have handled this any differently. The Redskins were offering Reuben Foster a contract. The ink was drying before he had his jumpsuit off from getting out of jail. This is months later. They've done an actual investigation. The reporting done on the Redskins situation is that they didn't even call the police department to get the police statement sent over as to what happened in the incident report. Danny in D.C., you're on the Fan.
Danny.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What up, bud?
I pretty much agree with you saying. My only caveat is that I think that the Skins should have actually gotten Kareem Hunt as well. I mean, at this point, if you're going to go down for Reuben Foster, you might as well get Kareem Hunt and improve your team. Aside from that, I feel like pretty much what you said, that the fact that our front office doesn't take responsibility for these type of things puts us in the situation where it doesn't make sense for even to bring in Reuben Foster. The thing about it is, at the end of the day, I don't think the NFL really cares about domestic violence or any real issue. It's a money-driven league, but they care about their perception. So it is tied to caring for something
that
you don't want to, you know. So that's the key for them. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Dorsey was with him before. He knows he's a beast. He's like, yo, I'm gonna bring this guy in. Hey, I'm gonna take it on, and that's just that. And they got a hell of a player, and they're gonna go through the motions as they had. It wouldn't matter because they had to go through regardless.
Right. And he, by the way, is a true and true football guy where his job's to acquire talent, to assemble pieces that can win football games. The Browns legitimately believe right now that they can compete for the AFC North Division title this coming year. And they took another step toward doing that yesterday. And that is his job. Go out and get football players. He's got Scott McLuhan to him. Not surprisingly, he's the guy that hired McLuhan for a short time to get him back on his feet after the Redskins kicked him to the curb.
I think the best point in there was the NFL has to show that they care because the perception of them caring is more important than the actual caring.
Absolutely.
And that goes for everything. That goes for concussions. Because if you really cared about players at all, you wouldn't have Thursday Night Football the way that they do it now. If you gave a damn. But they've got these flimsy data points about injury rates and whatever else. Just ask one player. Are you the same playing Sunday and then Thursday? The answer is no.
It's a business, though. Like you said, years ago when you're advocating on behalf of none of these players, all it is a business that's going to generate a ton of money and entertain us like a movie or a TV show. Mm-hmm. Do actors and actresses who get arrested and get in trouble not get to be in shows and movies before? I mean, you and I have met guys in here doing interviews, doing stand-up sets or whatever,
sure,
who are involved in all kinds of disputes and allegations. Football's no different than going to the box office and watching a movie. I mean, throw in a Google search on your favorite actor. Some of them have gotten in trouble before.
Robert Downey Jr., pretty big star.
800-636-1067 is the number. We will wrap up the calls on Kareem Hunt to the Browns, and we will turn our attention to Bryce Harper next as well. This could be the week where he finds a home. The odds are out on where he'll end up. What do they say about the Nationals? Next on G&D.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And Smith, he fires deep, and that's going to be caught on the run by Kareem Hunt. Inside the 20, inside the 10, all the way for a Kansas City touchdown to tie the game.
Precious Marsh going to swing. There's Marsh right there. He's going to have to try and trail him. This is not exactly what he's used to doing. He's a pass rusher. Alex Smith looked left, didn't like what he had, and threw it right on the butt. If Kareem Hunt had to break stride at all, he does not score on that play. We have seen Alex Smith at his best here tonight.
Kareem Hunt's been making quarterbacks look good for two seasons in Kansas City, and now he'll try to do it with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. He's got a contract with the Browns. Are you surprised he landed on his feet this quickly? Video came out. The video itself was him kind of wild and out of control in a hallway. Had a couple of people with him trying to control him. At one point, he rams one of them who knocks over a young female who's on the ground who he's in a dispute with, and he ends up going over and kicking at and making contact with his foot, kicking her while she's down, literally. The video was bad, and it came out this past season at a time when the Chiefs were the best team in the AFC, and they wasted no time releasing him. Within an hour of that video's release publicly, they came out and said that he lied to them. He told them something happened that actually wasn't true based on this video, and they can't tolerate that, and he was gone. So, he was a free agent right away. Unlike Reuben Foster, he stayed one until not only the end of the season, but now well past the postseason after the Super Bowl. And within a week of the end of the Super Bowl, I guess the Browns and his agent started chatting, and within 2 weeks, he has found a home. Your thoughts on the timeline. Mike's in Silver Spring on G&D. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas. When the Chiefs cut him, I applauded their actions. I thought the guy was trouble. Clearly, he's a talented individual, but I'm not real surprised he landed on his feet. To your earlier comments about Michael Vick, you know, when Tagliabue was commissioner, if you went to jail, you didn't get to play anymore. But that's all changed with Goodell. This is an entertainment-based business, and he's going to get some viewers, and he's going to get some money. I'm glad that the Browns have done their due diligence, allegedly. But I think it's just a matter of time before this guy gets in trouble again. I don't think he realizes the thin ice that he's walking on.
I hope not. I mean, he's got a chance now, not just in football, but in life, to get a reprieve here and to really change some things about how he lives. I don't believe that's true, that under Tagliabue, if you went to jail, you didn't play again, by the way.
Yeah,
I can think of years past.
I don't know that unequivocally.
Maybe depending on the offense. But how many times would a guy get arrested or taken in for drugs or something to be right back on the field? We've heard some of the stories about players with Dallas Cowboys or otherwise that would get in trouble. I don't think careers got cut short because guys were getting thrown in jail.
I couldn't speak to that unequivocally with examples on either side. But the Hunt part of it, I mean, you're right in the sense that he's got a chance to do something great. Some guys take that chance and run with it. Think of Chris Carter, right? Just as big a screw-up as you could possibly be in Philadelphia, turning himself into a Hall of Famer in Minnesota by just getting right. Then to the opposite, Josh Gordon with the aforementioned Cleveland Browns just never took advantage of any of the myriad chances he was given.
Yeah, you don't know how it's going to go. I mean, that's why you're rolling the dice here when you sign a guy like this. You mentioned we're not sure either way. Like, Ray Lewis pled guilty to obstruction of justice in connection with the stabbing deaths of two men in 2000. He didn't miss time in the NFL. Just one thing
right,
off the top
of your head. Sure, yeah.
Didn't Jamal Lewis get in trouble for drugs years and years ago?
Remember
the running back?
Yep.
I mean, I don't remember him not getting to play football again. He was charged with conspiring to possess with the intent to distribute 5 kilograms of cocaine and using a cell phone in the commission of the first count. Now, that was back in when he put in his plea agreement in October 2004, was sentenced in January 2005. So, and then you look up, you know, his football career thereafter. And his last year playing was 2009. So I'd have to do more research into all of the situations. But the idea that if you got in trouble with the law before Roger Goodell, you never played again, off the top of my head, I would say doesn't quite mesh with what I know. Don in Ashburn, you're up.
Hey, Donnie.
Good morning, boys.
Hey, buddy.
I have a couple thoughts, and I'll change after listening to everybody. But, you know, let's not forget that Leonard Little and Dante Stallworth are people that killed human beings and were given a second chance in the NFL. With Kareem Hunt, I'm not surprised. I hope that he's taken some steps in the right direction, and I hope it happened shortly after his release from the Chiefs and not recently. And I think back to even somebody like Brandon Marshall. If you guys remember all the off-the-field problems that he had,
yep,
and he addressed them, and he is such a great person on and off the field now for getting that probably a third and a fourth chance for Brandon Marshall, but God bless him for what he's done. I mean, he's an absolute joy to listen to and watch nowadays. And then I want to make one final point. I keep it. The last caller brought up Goodell, and this is Goodell's. Goodell works for the owners. So when people say that Goodell is letting guys that come back in the league after they've been in jail, that's the owners. That's not Goodell. That's who he works for. So I just want to make that point because it gets frustrating hearing guys say it's Goodell, Goodell, Goodell. It's the owners. If you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at the owners.
But yeah, if they didn't want those players back in the league, he would not let that happen. I think it's a good call all the way around.
He's acting at their behest.
And his point about Stallworth and Little's smart, too. You know, we've had Dante Stallworth on the show several times. He is a joy to speak to talk to. He's an asset to society. I mean, in a lot of ways, the stories that he tells about what he went through and the fact that I think a lot of people are better off from hearing what he has to say. That's a guy that's very much politically and community involved. I mean, you can just kick these guys to the curb until the end of time because they made a mistake. Now, you also can get into intent. You know, what's worse, accidentally being in the wrong end of a terrible moment or you know, trying to beat the crap out of someone and kicking and punching? I don't know. I can't legislate all of that. What I know is I try not to judge people off of the time they got in trouble for one of the worst things that they did. And maybe, to be fair, on the other side, if someone does something really great and one of the best things they did, maybe you wash that one out, too.
Sure, yeah.
The truth is somewhere in the middle.
That's how they do it in stats. You take the high and the low and you throw it out. Then you figure out where the real score is.
The median is probably the character of the player, I guess. Jack in Lorton, you are on the Fan.
Yeah, good morning, and I love your show.
Appreciate you.
I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I applauded when they let Hunt go. And I'm glad he's getting a second chance. But here's if I heard correctly, and it's true, his father, who lives in Cleveland, has been arrested 35 times for some of it domestic violence. His mother's been arrested. His aunts, uncles, and two of the three incidents that he was accused of happened in Cleveland. Hmm. I think that Cleveland is absolutely the wrong place for him to go. He needed to move somewhere away from his family so he could really get a second chance. I hope he turns it around like Tariq Hill did. Thanks a lot. I love your show.
Yeah,
thank you, buddy.
Particular incident was in Cleveland, which is a really good point.
Yeah, that's info I didn't have. Yeah.
And as far as the stats and the numbers on his family and the arrests and the background, I don't know anything about that. I'll take your word for it. There's something to be said for getting away from the people that have dragged you down, and I think that your analysis and your suggestion to him to go as far away as possible probably would be smart, but he knows Dorsey very well. He knows Freddie Kitchens very well. There's a lot of people in that Cleveland organization that came over from Kansas City when he first got into the league, and I think that that will help him, at least when he's in that building anyway.
That's got to be the hope. Again, the Cleveland pull on him does seem to be a negative influence. So that made me scratch my head a little bit initially. But again, you've got to have the kind of like Dez Bryant set of rules, right? Where if I'm Cleveland, I'm going, here are the criteria you've got to meet every day. It's not the same criteria as Nick Chubb has to meet. Not the same criteria that Baker Mayfield has to meet. Here is a list of things you must do each and every day in every living moment, whether it's excessive check-ins or a curfew or whatever else. Otherwise, you're in violation.
Kareem Hunt can hit the home run for the Cleveland Browns. Nick Chubb, Duke Johnson, pretty deep backfield. Bryce Harper belts home runs in Major League Baseball. Where will he be hitting them at home this coming season? That's the question. A little bit later than we planned on getting to it, but you guys wanted to call in on Hunt, and that's perfectly fine. Good calls. So next, Harper's odds. Where will he end up? We'll go team by team and break it down on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. On this date, 19 years ago, want to feel old? February 12th, 2000, Vince Carter put on that epic slam dunk contest show. It's been 19 years.
No.
Wearing the black jersey with the purple shorts representing the Toronto Raptors.
Wow.
Duncan putting his elbow in the hoop. Some of the ridiculous dunks. I'm watching the videos now of a young Shaq and Kevin Garnett and Chris Webber looking like a kid. And they're hopping around like they're watching basketball for the first time.
The elbow in the rim was just stupid.
Yeah, and that one was the least aesthetically pleasing in the moment. Like, if you're watching in real time, it just looked like a dunk. And then when you saw the replay, because you see him hanging there, and you see how deep into the basket he actually put his entire arm.
It's absurd.
But in real time, some of the other more flashy, sexy stuff got more run. Because in the arena, everyone's going, it looked like he just dunked. They didn't realize he had shoved
his whole arm
in the
rim.
His entire arm down through the net.
The the thing that was the most amazing to me, and this is under talked about, everybody that does a 360, right, that jumps, that dunks with their dominant hand, their first move is to the offhand when you spin. You follow me? So if you're right-handed, you spin to the left for your 360. That's just how you do it. It's not a true 360 because you start spinning before you take off. He did more than a 360 because he jumped the other way. And he cocks the thing back as he's doing a 360. It's so absurd. That was a great year.
I blame him for people hating the dunk contest every year now.
Almost like he ruined it.
It's not just him. There were a couple other performances like that were, you know, virtuoso over the years. But everybody's waiting for something like that, and it's just not going to happen. So we hate the dunk contest every year because we remember that. We romanticize the event. It was a rarity. It was a gift. So that was 19 years ago.
Man.
I remember exactly where I was sitting, exactly what I was doing. Not quite what I was wearing, but I imagine I was wearing some type of like Wizards gear watching the dunk contest as a 12-year-old at the time.
It was a blast. That was right around the same time he jumped over Frederick Weiss in international play. Frederick Weiss is well over 7 feet tall. And there's a nice little turnover.
Yeah.
Vince Carter got himself about 3 steps, running start, and jumped over that dude and dunked it.
Bryce Harper's odds in free agency updated yesterday. I saw this piece on NBC Sports' site. Now, NBC Sports Bay Area and Washington, both regionally, are particularly interesting because Bet Online gave San Francisco and Washington among the top odds to land Bryce Harper. Here is the update. The Giants, according to Bet Online, have the best chance to sign Bryce Harper at plus 100. The Padres are listed second at plus 250. Then they've got the Phillies at third, plus 400. The Dodgers fourth. And the Nationals, the fifth best odds at Bryce. Stunningly, the Nationals' odds, according to BetOnline, are down to 10 to 1.
Mm.
I think that's really good value in terms of just throwing $100 down on Bryce Harper to the Nats, betting on possibly a last-second phone call from Scott Boras to Ted Lerner to say, maybe $300 million is not on the table anymore, but how close can you get? We'll come back. So you could pay out at 10 to 1. Why not put $100 down on the Nats? Here's what surprises me about the odds, though, Danny, and I want to go through these with you one by one. The Giants listed first. I think this is recency effect. They're the latest team to talk to him. They're the one team that is still speaking publicly. They just had their big event with their fans, their fan fest this weekend, and their GM and their president spoke about Bryce Harper. And I think that is coloring the conversation a little bit. The Phillies did this. It was just weeks ago. The Padres did this. It was just a week and a half ago. The Dodgers, the Nationals, they've all had the times where they came out and spoke publicly about their meeting. It just wasn't in the last 72 hours. So I think that's part of why the Giants are ranked so high. The other part is they really are Redskins-like in the way of being ravenous for a attraction.
Yeah.
They need something to put on a billboard. Their attendance was down last year. People weren't coming to the games. They had a terrible season. They've got a manager in Bruce Bochy who's long in the teeth at this point, and they got some guys on that team that aren't what they were when they were winning World Series championships. They need a reason for their fans to get excited, and Bryce Harper would be that reason.
That would certainly work.
If you check in on any of the media out there, they don't really care about overpaying him. They don't care about the back end of a contract that may not work out. They want this guy bad. Those are some of the reasons they have the best odds. I don't think they should, though. I still think the Phillies have better odds than the Giants.
So the big surprise to me is, well, there's three of them. One, the Giants are even money, as you said. That's surprising to me. I agree that it's recency, but it's also there's a stated purpose to coming in this late. It means you're very serious about it, right?
Does it?
If you were in all along and just sort of flirting and you're the first to check in, this says, you know what? Screw it. We're going for it, right? That may be the sentiment.
So, like, I would ask you this, though. The Padres came in, and by the way, they're listed second, which makes no sense to me, and that's surprising.
And that's my second surprise.
I don't really understand why they're listed that high, but I never have gotten the sense that the Padres were going to pay what it took. I think they got in basically as a, here's what we can offer. San Diego's nicer than wherever else you're going to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing town. We're also going to be really good in the next couple of years. We've got a better minor league system than the Giants, than the Phillies, than the Dodgers, than even the Nationals. We've got some of the highest-end prospects in the game you're going to be playing with. We are on the brink of being good for a sustained time. Now, as far as the money goes, We're probably not going to pay what the other guys are. And I bring this up, Danny, to say I don't think just getting in late means that you are a favorite. I think you could get in late and say, in case you can't get 350, we're here at 285.
Here's why I do think it means something, though. This is the Boris playbook to the nth degree. All he does, you're playing chicken with time. Every player that's not represented by Boris, even maybe guys that are going, spring training's this week. I got to sign somewhere. He's going, just be patient. And he knows that this is no longer the GM and the like assistant analytics guy level. This is not the guy that's crunching numbers in the front office that like went to MIT that has good math about win and VORP and everything else and knows this isn't a great investment. This is an ownership auction thing. This is appealing to the egos of billionaires. This is basically saying to all these guys that are now in, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, it's like, the White Sox gave an offer. Nats gave an offer. The Phillies are there.
Now, by the way, you don't even hear about the White Sox.
And you don't hear it. Now an owner's going, we could get him. I could win this. I could win this prize. This is the new yacht. This is the new thing I want at auction. This is the Matisse painting that I won for $1 billion. I could hang this Bryce Harper thing in my house. That's what's happening. And I think the Giants went from, we're better served elsewhere, to, I think we could actually do this. Maybe the price isn't $400 million. Maybe it's $326. Maybe it's $330. We could actually do it, and it makes sense. And instead of, we're going to sit it out, now they're hot and heavy, whereas they probably weren't a couple months ago.
The Phillies plus 400, the third best odds, according to BetOnline. To me, they should have the best odds. They're in a perfect position, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They are laying in the weeds. They had their six-hour meeting with him. They threw themselves into the driver's seat at that point. The Giants and the Padres chasing them. Now, maybe what you're calling comes to fruition and those teams up the number and the Phillies at that point have to decide if they're going to do that or they go with a consolation prize in Manny Machado. But they have really put themselves in a pole spot for at least one of those two guys.
Yes.
So that's a really good place to be. You've got the Dodgers at plus 750. My read on the Dodgers over the last couple of months has always been that they are the most likely team if Bryce decides to take a four-year deal.
Yes.
And get paid maybe more in AAV, say 4 years at $35 million or something like that, but not cash in with the record-breaking 10-year deal. I just have never thought that's a possibility, which brings us to the Nationals, listed fifth at 10-1. Here's something I want to pass along. Maybe we'll do this next. There was an update, if we can call it that, on something Bryce Harper did that was brought to the attention of the media by one of the other star athletes in town yesterday that makes me think, and I've never thought he was coming back here for 1 second, obviously, but makes me think that you and I have been right about this and he really isn't coming back here, no matter what the media tries to say about the Nats being a possibility. We'll explain what that is next, and we want to take your calls on this. 800-636-1067. Where do you think he ends up? Giants, Padres, Phillies, in that order, have the best odds, according to BetOnline. Dodgers and Nationals are the other two teams in the top five. We're D&D on the next.
Spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.